There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
To the Wise Men Say preview show, we're back to do some previewing of Sunderland's game against Stoke City on Saturday afternoon. I'm Matthew, and I'm joined by Richard. Hi, Richard.
Hello.
We're in the car again.
We are. Rush hour.
Rushed
hour. City centre. It's not. It's actually town centre. So stay with us as we get involved with some spills and thrills.
That'd be good. Hopefully we're not even in a town centre, though.
No, we're not.
We're not going to reveal where. Yeah. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Had a week away, so I'm rested, ready to face Alex Neil.
Not personally.
You going to knock him out? Or where did you go? Anywhere nice? Anywhere hot?
Went to Welsh Wales.
Welsh Wales. Mm. Wales is Wales.
It wasn't hot, like, it was freezing, but
it's freezing here as well. Exactly. It's March now, though, so you know, spring has sprung as we as we sit freezing and soaking. But yeah, the return of Alex Neil. Are you excited by it?
I don't really care less about him, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
I processed it fairly. I say fairly quickly. It took a couple of days of, like, you know, I think I initially came out on his side saying, well, if he got a bit of backing in the market, he might have stayed. But how many times have we done that to a manager, and how many times it failed? And if you kind of talking about having this new model of sustainability to kind of throw it out at the first real test, it's obviously just a bad thing to do. So obviously, as I said at the time, it was, you know, maybe if he'd had a bit of support from the board, it would have been a different story. But to be honest, he's not lit up the potteries, has he?
Well, this is it, and I think we found ourselves in, there's no way we'd be in a better position had he stayed, I don't think. I think we've got a manager that probably plays better football than him. I liked Alex Neil. Look, I was the same as you at the time. I was gutted when he left, because it was like a very much a just had this, you know, we've just won promotion, and everyone liked him universally, had come in and basically got us promoted, and then for him to leave and go, I think the kick in the knackers was, no disrespect, but he'd gone to a side who we'd just beaten in Stoke, a side who've been in this division for a number of years, and we were just a bit, I think it was all a bit of a kick in the bollocks after what was such a positive summer. But look, he did go, and the Stoke fans don't seem too happy with him, really.
No.
I watched the bits of them last night against Brighton. They don't seem to be that good.
I think the frustrating thing with Neil was he seemed a manager that understood what needed to be a success on Weir's side. And I think there was a mutual kind of, you know, if things continued, something special could happen.
And
you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. You've seen managers who've jumped ship quite early on to pursue other careers. Nathan Jones.
Are you going to put your windscreen wipers on?
Well, no, because I made a noise.
A crash will make a bigger noise.
Yeah, well, yes. you look at managers who think the grass is greener and think that progress in the career is more important than maybe sporting success. So fair play to him. He's taken that choice. It'll probably prove to be the wrong one. I know there's been talk about him possibly losing his job. I don't know if
you know he's particularly close to, or if, I mean, Stoke gave, you just mentioned Nathan Jones, Stoke gave him more time than they should have, because he completely lost, well, his mind, I think, when he was at in the Stoke job, and then subsequently done it again anywhere but Luton.
Yeah, it just seemed like it would have been it was a good fit for him here. I think he might live to regret it, but I don't think we're regretting it.
No, we're not. And I think, I can't remember who made the point in the group chat this afternoon, but I think part of me as well, I agreed with whoever said it strongly, is what Alex Neil's, in hindsight, you know, we're all annoyed and saying it was the wrong thing to do, and Alex Neil's probably not the manager. I don't think he's that good of a manager to be the person that you go, right, well, you go and sign who you want then. In hindsight, at the time, you know, a lot of it was he's just got us promoted, no one else has done that. I think with Mowbray coming in, steadied everything a bit. Although I have waxed lyrical about him the other week and we haven't won since. You know, which is a concern, really. And it's probably my fault, really, you'd say?
I'd blame it squarely on your shoulders.
Okay, it wouldn't be the first time.
I think we at the time we were probably all of us a lot of us were guilty of maybe building Alex Neil to be something that he probably isn't because all he did was turned a fairly disparate set of players that weren't performing at the best and would go from playing liquid football to terrible week in, you know, in the space of a week, and he just turned us into quite a pragmatic, difficult to play against side.
And he had momentum, didn't he?
Yeah, and that's all you needed, and why, you know, the previous managers hadn't realised that at the time, because, you know, we should have gone up.
I think it's mainly because the previous managers have been proven to be dismal managers.
Yeah.
You know, as much as Jack Ross was a nice guy, his CV says otherwise in terms of her being a nice manager. Mm. Obviously, Phil Parkinson's kicking around non-league with America's Wrexham and who was the other? Oh yeah, right. Well, him. Yeah. but yeah, I think looking back, it's going to be an interesting one because I don't think he's going to be particularly welcomed back.
No, and I'm saying, like, I'm not really bothered. I've made my own peace, and I'm not going to be standing there. You know, I don't boo Stoke's scores when they come up on the scoreboard.
You should start and do that, actually. But like just, in your house.
Yeah, you're a booze joke. But I'm not really. I don't really want to waste my own energy on hatred for a man that left some time ago. I'm not saying that other people are wrong to do so. They can do what they want. I'm not the fan police, so crack on.
I understand. Look, I understand that people will get at him. I don't care. Like, go for it if you want, because to be honest, you know, the hatred of Alex Neil will make for a bit of an atmosphere on Saturday, so that might not be a bad thing in itself. Might look a bit silly if we do go on to lose the game, but
yeah,
I think, I don't know, I'm probably not, having had most of the season now reflect on it, going to waste again my energy, as you've said, on a man who was, at the end of the day, was our manager for about 6 months, so
yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's a relatively kind of small but perhaps significant chapter in our fairly storied existence. So it is what it is.
Well, I think as well, it was the only point in recent history that wasn't shit. So I think that's probably what stuck in the throat a bit was, oh, we could just have nice things for a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah. Tony Mowbray's given us some nice things. So onto the game itself. There's not one to look back on, so there's no flow to this, really. We've got, well, there's lots of flow, but there's no real structure to this. Tom's going to pop up soon with some kind of hello, and then we've got some questions from our dear listeners at the end. There's no game to review, so might as well preview this one with our extensive knowledge of Stoke. and all of its things. Stoke, of course, famously not existing as a place.
Yeah, it's an amalgamation of how many towns? Five towns,
but I can only ever remember Burslem and Hanley.
Yeah.
I don't know if Newcastle-under-Lyme counts as Stoke. I think it's a separate. Is Leek part of?
Leek could be. I've been out in Newcastle-under-Lyme. I was a taxi driver called it shit Newcastle.
Right. Okay.
In comparison, because he'd also worked in the northeast, and said this is nothing in comparison, which it clearly isn't. Right.
Yeah.
I've been out in Houghton before, and that was a better night out than Newcastle-under-Lyme. But it's a weird little place, Stoke.
Did you end up there by mistake, by just putting Newcastle in the sat nav and being the wrong one?
No, we were staying down there because me and my friends went to Alton Towers last summer.
I remember this now.
We asked the hotel receptionist where it was good, and they kind of didn't come back with anything, and they said, well, Newcastle's not bad.
It's a bit far, like.
Just come from. But no, we were went out in Stoke. It was not a night that I'd want to repeat.
Yeah, I've been to Stoke a few times. You ever been to the Britannia?
Yes.
Or whatever it's called now. The Bet365 stage.
A number of times.
Just a dismal away game. It's a terrible away game. And it's like, you know, I don't think I'm being unfair here by saying it's probably one of the worst as an away fan. There's very, very little in terms of pubs or amenities or whatever, because you're not allowed in whatever Stoke is. Because of police saying things like you can't come in here, and there's like one or two pubs, and then I think there's like a Harvester by the ground.
Yeah, it's very kind of.
This is all irrelevant. We're not playing them away, but I just
no. It's one of those grounds that kind of a little bit like a Wigan ground. Actually, no, Wigan's got quite a lot around it.
Yeah, Wigan's all right in terms of
but a bit like a Bolton. Where you kind of plonked on the edge of town, and people think that sticking a few buses on an hour is going to make it a nice place to go. The reality is, if there's nothing around it, it's a fairly soulless kind of existence.
Well, yeah.
See, they're coming to us, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are.
Bless them.
Well, there's loads for them to do, so. I'm not going to tell them what to do. Well, this is not a Stoke podcast, so. They can't come to Harbourview, though. Actually, you can, who am I kidding? They can, everyone's welcome. On the pitch, then, we've not had the best run, probably our worst run of the season, really.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think it's what we.
Back to back defeats, and then obviously the draw last weekend. Was it? No.
Weekend before.
So we need really to got all this stuff about Alex Neil's return to one side. We do need to win this game.
It is important
because our hopes of playoffs are fizzling away.
Yeah, when you know, so much of this stage of the season is about momentum. So yeah, we might pick up the odd defeat and the odd disappointing result here and there, but you need to kind of keep this scoreboard ticking over and generate a little bit of momentum. If you can't do that with results, you do it with the way you're playing. But there was like, you know, we were bullied out of it on Saturday, and we were bullied out of it on Tuesday. So the Tuesday before. So it's really kind of like difficult to see where the next positive result's going to come from.
Yeah, it is a bit.
Because you know, it's been discussed on previous pods that other teams seem to have found a way to play against us, which isn't that difficult because we've only got one way of playing, and there's no, and when we're not playing with an out ball, we're not, you know, we have to play through these teams, and if they just stick 10 men behind the ball and also kind of rough us up a bit, we obviously don't have the characters to perhaps deal with that, or we certainly didn't have them in the last two games.
No, I think the one that sticks out is the Rotherham one was particularly disappointing. Like, in isolation you look and you think, well, the Bristol City game, it's not a bad result at point at home to them. And Coventry, you know, it was disappointing to lose the game, and I don't think we were great. But if you'd beaten Rotherham, then it's like, oh, well, you know, we've lost to Coventry. We're clearly a decent side, a good manager. were all impressed with them at the beginning of the season. And the Rotherham one really does stick in the throat because they're not good. And yeah. I watched a little bit of this. They played Swansea on Monday, and that game was atrocious from what I saw. And you look like we've obviously beaten Rotherham once, but we've lost twice to Swansea, and then obviously got turned over at Rotherham last week with two poor goals, really.
Yeah.
I know we discussed this. Well, I discussed. Did we discuss? Did you?
I didn't. That was from Wales.
Wales. Yeah, I did the pod last week, didn't I? I'm just thinking out loud.
You did it with Stephen.
Oh yeah. We did the bald podcast last week. We were saying that the goals were poor, but it wasn't like the goalkeeper or anything. It was just, I don't know, it was a strange week because the goals we gave away were really rubbish, and we've not done a lot of that. Like we've been quite solid defensively. The keeper's been good, and I don't think the keeper was to blame for any of the issues we had. Going to Leicester anyway. Going to Chris's Foxes apparently in the summer.
He's due for a call up to the England under 21s as well. Which is possible despite him being 22, turning 23.
Yeah, it depends on the competition and when it started, I think. Yeah, when the qualifying started.
Yeah, so the qualifying for Euro 20... I think it's the European Championships 2023. Qualifying started in 2021.
Yeah.
And it's the start of that calendar year.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, so he'd have only been about 9 then.
No, he would have been 21.
So plenty of time.
Maybe 22. 20, maybe, I don't know.
Well, he won't have been 22 because then he won't have been able to qualify.
Yeah,
if he's 22 now, Richard, he's not won't have been 22 at the beginning of 2021, will he?
Right. Yeah, it's a good point. My maths has failed.
It has, isn't it?
He's 22 now, so he would have been 20 at the start of 2021.
Right, thanks,
Yeah. Right. Because up to 23, right. You can play.
It's fine.
Yeah. Because the 23-year-olds that are now eligible to play.
Have you got enough of that out? Have you satisfied yourself that you know the answer?
Yeah.
Right, good. aside from him going to Leicester, he'll obviously play on Saturday. We don't have another goalkeeper. Anyway, what do you do in terms of the team selection? Do you change? I was going to say, do you make wholesale? You can't really, can he? Because we haven't really got...
No. I think there was tweaks that he could have made on Saturday. I just think reading between the lines, a lot of what Tony Mowbray was saying on Saturday was yes, it was the referee that didn't kind of like set the tone for the game.
He was
like,
terrible.
Yeah, but that said, he did say to them at half time, you know, if you're in a fight, you can throw some punches too.
Yeah.
Do we have the personnel to do that? We've certainly got the personnel in Luke O'Neill to put himself out physically, but I'm not even sure whether Stoke will bring that kind of game to us. Perhaps
I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't seen enough of Stoke other than hearing their name to think that they will. But I don't know. I don't really know many of the players. Obviously, they lost Harry Souter to Chris again to Chris's Foxes.
Chris's Foxes sweeping up all of the championship talent.
Yeah.
I think what these last two games, or certainly maybe last three games, taught us that, you know, if you're losing, make sure you're learning.
Yeah.
And there are young players who are very much at the beginning of their careers. You know, the people with very little football under the belts. You know, Joe Gelhard, the pedigree he has, he's still played very limited amounts of football. And you know, you look at Pierre Ekwa coming off the bench; he's still playing his first. You know, he's very
double figures in terms of games. I think Gellar, I think, has played something like 54 senior games. But I think the stat they put on Sky Sports on before the game on Saturday was he's made something like 11 starts.
And
this is his longest run of consecutive starts, which is 4.
Yeah. So that kind of, you know, having that. Having three games in a week where you've got vastly different football styles up against you, they know they're going to have to learn on the fly, and that's why they're here. They're here to develop. If they were fully developed, they probably wouldn't be at second tier Sunderland.
Well, this is it. But they do need to We do need to turn it around. You mentioned 09. Would you bring him in?
I would bring him in. I would bring him in the midfield three, alongside Michu and Dan Neil. Because people like are hanging their hats on Dan Neil being this super experienced player. He's only
he's 21.
Yeah, and he's still. This is only his second season of football.
He was on loan at Harrogate, was it?
I can't remember.
Before that, have I made that up as well? Oh, it was Jack Diamond.
Yeah, it was Jack Diamond. Yeah,
did we send him out on loan somewhere though?
I'm not sure whether he did.
Don't know.
I'm not sure. So even then, he's still learning stuff himself. So it is. We're very thin on the ground in terms of experience, and with the exception of like Danny Bard and Alex Pritchard further up the top. So we need to kind of. I think we need to be leaning more on experience. Certainly have a spine of experience and maybe that'll help us.
Well, I appreciate I'd bring him back into the midfield as well with Neil. I appreciate I'm in the minority here, but I don't get Michu at all.
Yeah, and well, I see. Sometimes you see something like, oh, well, he's not that special, but sometimes he'll just play a killer ball.
He's obviously going to be, you know, he's obviously talented, and he's obviously going. I'm very much in the minority, so I imagine I'm quite probably wrong on this one. Not just this one. I wouldn't have him in. I wouldn't start him on Saturday. I'd play Ekwa, give him, I'd see what he's made of. Maybe in the middle, or I don't know. I say Bar. I'm not really convinced on Bar in the middle either. They did well at did he play QPR? Did okay at QPR. Did very well, obviously. Had that really good game at Wigan.
Yeah.
He just flashes again, but I don't know. I don't think he will. I think he'll leave Michu in, and that's fine. I don't see it, but that's okay. You do, and that's all it's all about, yeah. Isn't it, Richard?
Well, it's a game of opinions, and it's football's a sport where you can have completely different opinions and both be right. Depends what your opinion is, I suppose. But I think Saturday showed at the same time how much we missed both Ross Stewart and Corey Evans.
Yeah.
At the same time, it was like, don't forget about how big a miss Corey Evans is. And while it's encouraging he's signed a new contract, you know, there's that's a serious injury, and
he's thousands.
But he isn't, though, that's the thing.
Well, no, he's not. But he's a year older than me.
Yeah. It's an injury that takes a long time to recover from, and when we're looking at will he be ready for the start of the season, I'm not sure, so sure he will be.
Yeah, it's quite. I mean, we're in March now, so hopefully he is, but he's one that we need another of anyway. Because you're going to get at the most probably next season out of him at this level anyway. So, yeah. So then. I think he'll go with them in midfield. I do agree with you. I think he'll play them three in midfield. What do you do about sort of Ahmad? Because obviously, again on Saturday, wasn't it? But then he pings that one in the top corner.
That's what you get with Ahmad. He's got that in him where he looks like he'll do nothing. And he'll try a few things that don't come off, and then he'll do that.
It was a little bit too late, though.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lovely finish.
It doesn't take away from it, like, it was a brilliant goal.
But I think we have been starting him quite a lot. I think a little bit of rotation, certainly. If we look to play a front, I personally think we should go 4-3-3 and play a front three, and keep that kind of interchangeable, because we're not playing with a focal point. Joe Gellhart is not a focal point, and we've learned that so far. And
would you play him?
Well, that's why. If he is just a forward or a finisher, does he necessarily have to start?
I don't think I'd play him on Saturday.
No, I'd consider a front three. A front three of perhaps Roberts, Clark, and even Pritchard.
Yeah,
as the furthest forward player, because he does pressure. He does put a lot of pressure on. You know, from the front, he defends from the front.
Yeah, I agree. I would do that.
If we're not playing with a striker, why don't we just go all in and not play with a striker?
Well, yeah, I agree. And then you've got Gellhart as, you know, the option off the bench. Or, coming on against the tighter team and his pace opens up a bit more for him.
Because at the moment, we are, as you say, he's made four consecutive starts. He hasn't played a full 90.
No.
And also...
So we are having to play elements of the game without him anyway.
And I'd imagine he's probably getting pretty frustrated as well during those 90 minutes, because what he's being asked to do is, like, a lot of it's with his back to goal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. It's not his game, evidently. It's... deciding what lane to go in now. We haven't updated the listeners much on
I don't attempt fit, but it's been a very
it has well before we run out of time and end up with our houses, we'll hear from Tom Walsh with some wisdom, I'm sure, and then after that we'll do predictions and then ask some questions,
even answer some questions.
Really? Well, yeah, that what you said. We'll do that then. Right, over to Tom.
Guten Abend zusammen. Herr ist Tom. Entschuldigung für meine Abwesenheit. Ich habe seit Januar einen Deutschkurs gemacht. Jetzt spreche ich natürlich fließend. Hab ihr Vic vermisst? Natürlich, ihr seid alle große Verlierer. Yes, it's me again. As you can tell, I am now fully fledged in the Spreche des Deutsch. Sie Deutsch. So Matt essentially said you should probably do something since your voice hasn't been heard on this podcast for ages and people think you've fallen down a well or something like this. So here I am on the eves of Alex return, Alex Neil's bold return to the Stadium of Light, and everyone's probably getting very excited about it, despite the fact that we haven't won in a bit. And yeah, it's funny really, because you don't know how this one's going to go, and it's like a lot of people are going to be very upset if we don't win quite convincingly. But then again, we haven't got a striker or any like kind of replacement for our one striker if he does get injured or doesn't score or something like that. So yeah, that's all very exciting. I actually went to some games over Christmas which were all very good actually, but yeah, hasn't been very good since, well, very recently. Anyway, what I think is going to happen on Saturday, I don't think we'll win because that's just the way things are going at the moment. And this might be a game that Alex Neil is a bit more up for than, say, Tony Mowbray is. And we'll see. I mean, if he does win, like if Stoke win, then that's probably not good. And then we've got a really hard run of games. But if we win, that'd be nice, and everyone will be very happy in calling Alex Neil very bold. So anyway, I think we will draw ones apiece, and someone will score. And also, just to let you know, that I am streets ahead of Matthew in the Loser Prediction League, and he will have to provide an £11 novelty check, or a check... a novelty check for £11. So that's something to look forward to as well. Anyway, you won't be hearing from me again for a few weeks. So, auf Wiedersehen.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say preview show. Just before we move on to questions and a story from Saturday from one of the listeners, what's the score going to be on Saturday against Stoke City? Alex Neil's Stoke City. Alex Neil's bald Stoke City.
Alex bald Neil's bald Stoke bald City. I think 1-1.
I think we'll win.
Oh, well, that's a change, isn't it?
2-1.
Great.
Quite late on, which would be quite nice. I wrote an article about Sunderland versus Coventry City being on Sky Sports all the time. last week, I'm sure you read it. And someone did, because he was P. Dids on Twitter. Replied saying it was my finest work and he really enjoyed it. And then he proceeded to tell me a story about when he went to Coventry away in Birmingham and he was incredibly hungover. He'd gone straight from a night out. And I was in the pub while he sent me this and I said I thought it would be a great idea for him to tell me his story of last weekend and I'd read it out on the pod. Now I've got it, it doesn't seem as good an idea as it did after 8 pints of Stella. But he's done it anyway, so this is his away to Coventry. He woke up, had a shower. At 8 a.m. he cracked open a can, so, you know, dedication there, really. While blasting the new Monkey.
Oh, no.
I know. I haven't checked this, so, you know, if anything's terrible in it, I'm just going to read it out. he was picked up at 8:30 by Spurs fan Liam, which I didn't ask. I don't know who Liam is. And he insists we stop for McDonald's. He has his first car beer at 9 o'clock, and at 10 they opened a can as we crossed a roundabout and it exploded, scaring the shit out of Liam. Me and you, this.
Yeah.
Went to a brewery, which is quite good actually, yeah. In Coventry. You should have written cans and Megabus, really. went to the ground, the mat is shit, got another drink. The other half is equally as shit, but then we remembered we don't have a recognised striker. Lol. He bought loads of cans, drove home, got dropped off at his uncle's, ranted about our playoff charges in ruins, and put himself to bed at 9 o'clock. So a fabulous day there, really. Yeah. I think more people should send this in, but do something stupid. If I'm honest, I thought you were going to do something ridiculous. I don't want you to get yourself arrested just for the purposes of this, but you know.
Well, when I heard about the car cans at 9 o'clock, I thought this is only going in one direction.
Yeah, he's done well though. Yeah, to kind of keep himself alive, which is always nice, really.
And I do hope Spurs fans, Ian's car is not too badly damaged by the.
It doesn't have lots of six in it.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't. You know, beer does. Smell a lot when it's
stale beer,
especially when you're not drinking it. Someone spills beer across your car,
you're gonna really notice that. Yeah.
Especially if you get stopped by the police as well.
Are you drinking that? No. Well, I've only had one, but you can't have it while you're driving, right? We almost have a public service announcement here from Connor,
yeah,
who said, Hi, Matthew, just Matthew, actually, no,
it's fine.
I'm asking you to remind your listeners that there is a troubling tomato shortage at the moment. So can they please be discouraged from the medieval practice of throwing them at people in stocks in the town square? Thank you. And that's from Connor. And I think it is a very important message, actually. There is a tomato crisis, almost. Please do not throw them at people in the town square. Throw them at Alex Neil. No, don't throw tomatoes at Alex Neil. As a disclaimer, do not throw tomatoes at Alex Neil. Do. Fergie has asked, if you could only wear one outfit for the rest of your life, what would it be?
One outfit. Would it have to be like variations of that outfit? Or would it be the same clothes every day?
Presume the same clothes. I just wear dungarees, really.
Yeah, I just wear some kind of like onesie that would I've never seen a Vantec van.
There's a Vantec van. There's a Vantec. We've driven past Vantec on the Nissan. Okay, I've gone the wrong way. Like, so everyone wave at Gary, and we'll move on. Fergie, that's a rubbish question. Dan, do you need a moment? Or are you going to open the door again? Or? Dan Embleton has asked, what should he make for his lunch tomorrow at work? It must be less than 500 calories and he can only use a microwave or a toaster. Well, toast.
Who are we? Bloody Gillian McKeith?
I don't know. Not looking at his poo.
Get a Big Mac?
No, he says he can only... No, that's not in the... Look, you haven't... Look.
Well, Big Mac's only 540 calories, so treat himself.
Right, well, I think you should have one of them pots, the noodle pots.
Yes, yeah, they're good.
The Chinese... pots.
Yeah, Japanese noodle pots.
Yeah, soba.
£1.50.
Soba.
Well, you drink them how you want. They're £1.50 from B&M. You get a range of flavours. Yakitori's nicest.
I agree. You should have one of them or two because they're not that big.
Yeah. You only need a kettle for that.
I thought badly drawn boy. So what I've done is I've liked the questions in order to have them ready to ask, and I've liked a badly drawn Roy tweet in the middle of it. So this is a badly done podcast, I think. He'd been at Mr. Sifter's actually this afternoon, if anyone's interested. I've not liked as many. I've not done very, Richard. I've not done very well here. Just bear with. Gary Jerry has asked. Do you think Garfield's love of lasagna reduced his lifespan?
Yeah.
Almost
certainly.
I would say so as well. Craig McCaskill has asked, would you rather sit in row one of the lower tier or in the back row of the Premier Concourse?
Well, I guess I've done both.
I'd have to go with the back row, I think.
Haven't done both. I would say front row of the lower bowl, because you will see, you'll at least feel the atmosphere of the game.
Yeah, I know, but you can't really see. It's like sort of, it'd be like watching the television, like lying on the floor, half a yard from it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good.
Yeah, it was like that at times, especially the second half when I was in row three and they'd be attacking you the way, you wouldn't see much. But that said, you're like...
And you get wet.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, but more in row one.
Yeah, oh well, yeah.
There is a new walrus I was informed of in the Scottish Islands, and a Grimson and that the other day. So I'm going to try and find more information out on him for next week. One more. Michael Loff has asked, I've lost his question. I think he asked who would be best on four in a bed. Which Sunderland manager in your lifetime would perform best and worst on four in a bed, and why?
Which Sunderland manager, past, present, Martin O'Neill? I think he'd be a compelling host.
He'd be attentive, I think.
Yeah, just don't go in his room full of war memories. Which he does have.
David Boyle has asked me, I presume me, because I was ranting about this last night, what would you replace the Sainsbury's that has replaced the Sainsbury's in Fulham with? We might as well just replace it with an even smaller Sainsbury's.
Yeah, just keep going with it until you've until you end up with just a booth.
Yeah, a booth, like, so that's a different zoom.
Yeah, yeah. They end up with like just a kiosk.
That'd be great. Just the tab counter.
Yeah, where you get your lottery from.
Well, yeah. There are more, but we're almost home. And also, there's been a bit of talk. Me and Mitchell obviously work together, and I've told this to a few people, and I'm going to tell it to the listeners, that we play, like, you know, little jokes on each other, like, oh, let each other's chair down, or switch the mics around, or, you know, unplug the keyboards or whatever.
Controlled your laptop with a different mouse from another room. That was probably my
You know,
one.
During a meeting, with the manager. Thanks for helping me carry my stuff out, though, mate. I appreciate it. So I thought Richard, you know, Richard has one of the insulated bottles, and we have the filtered water taps. And I thought, it would be nice to get him some water. I offered to get him some water, and I thought, I'll fill this up with boiling water.
and he'll not notice, and he'll drink, and he'll burn his mouth a little bit. So I did it, filled it up, because it's insulated, didn't notice, it was red hot, like piped, literally boiling hot. Put it back, and my prank was only rumbled by my own immature giggling, and I've subsequently found out that that was probably the best giggle of my life, because people have been horrified when I tell them about this prank, and people have said things like, oh, you could have killed him, oh, he could have died, he could have been rushed to hospital. No, I'm not sure, really.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I told my wife about it, and I said, well, had I, like, taken a huge swig of it, because obviously with it being an insulated bottle, you don't feel the heat from the outside, had I not done any checks and just took a big swig with boiling water, it could have, like, closed my esophagus up, then impacted on my windpipe, and I could have died. And I said this to my wife, and she was like, well, no, because you drink coffee all the time. I'm like, yeah, but I don't drink coffee at 100 degrees. It's always a little less than 100 degrees.
I'm just sort of like, as much as that, like, part of me still laughs when I imagine Richard drinking this. And then, if I'm honest, laughs even more when I imagine the ambulance coming into the office. The ambulance in the office. Like, it's not going to get in the office, is it?
No, well, you can try. I was remarkably quite chilled about it. I mean, ironically chilled.
I feel that you wouldn't have been, had you.
Maybe I wouldn't have really had much choice. So I'd been fighting for my life.
I'll let you decide. I'm going to do a poll later on the Wise Men Say Twitter account. Was Matthew's filling Richard's water bottle up with boiling water prank, was that too far? And is that a line that he should not have crossed? Because many people who unbelievably have unbelievably are calling me out on this, you wouldn't have no idea. Staggering that this is the line, frankly. Yeah. But
would you have still expected to lift home that night?
Well, it depends. Well, if you'd been rushed to hospital, no. Can I get in?
Yeah, would you just be stood by the car with your back?
I'd have got in the ambulance with you.
Yeah.
Well, I would have probably been facing some questions, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
As an emergency windpipe was made in your neck. I'm just laughing. It is funny, like, yeah. Is he all right? Shut up, Richard. Shut up. We haven't been here very long. Shut up.
It would be a bit harsh if I got sacked for that.
Oh, well. Do we do death in service? Right, anyway. Right, the...
Wouldn't get sick pay.
Death in service.
Yeah. I looked into that bit of my contract, so...
Well, you probably didn't expect to be threatened by... Anyway, it was nothing malicious in it, you know, just a disclaimer. I haven't tried to kill Richard Easterbrook. It was just a harmless prank which could have gone drastically wrong for Richard and his windpipe.
And you.
And, yeah. I think we're overlooking the trouble I might have been in, yeah. Yeah. Aye, sacked. Well, on that note of attempted murder, I guess, we'll bid you farewell. We're almost home. And it's been lovely, and I'll be back, or someone will be back on Saturday after we've played Stoke. Thanks for listening, as always.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.